Fanboy Nation.
This is your pal Daffy Duck, and you're watching.
You're watching.
We're watching. You're watching Fanboy.
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 A fanboy, etc.
Fanboy Nation.
Dad, I assume Tom.
David Knight, it is a pleasure to chat with you today about your documentary, Remembering Gene Wilder. You and your wife are both co-executive producers, and if they don't know who she is, they definitely know who her father is, Julie Nimoy. So, you know, congratulations on yet another phenomenal documentary that you have presented to the Newport Beach Film Festival and its West Coast premiere out here in Newport.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. In our pre-interview, you were telling me how the Gene Wilder documentary came about because of the documentary that you made in 2017 regarding your father-in-law, Leonard Nimoy, and his encounter with COPD.
Right. So basically what had happened was maybe a night before, two nights before, we were to screen Remembering Leonard Nimoy at the Newport Beach Film Festival. Julie and I got a call from her stepmom, Susan, asking if we happen to have an extra ticket for her friend that's going to be in town visiting, and the friend was Karen Wilder. And I had never even known the connection at that point between Gene and Leonard. They even knew each other, but Julie mentioned that her dad had directed a film. It was called Funny About Love. I think it was in the early 90s. And Gene was the star. And from that moment on, they became very close friends for probably about 25 years, spending time either when they were back east or when Gene would come to L.A. And they just developed really a great friendship. And moving forward, what had happened was is after our screening, maybe 6 months later, I had read a story online that Karen Wilder was working with the Alzheimer's Association to increase awareness for the disease. This is the disease that Gene succumbed to. And immediately a little light bulb went off in our heads because we had just made a film honoring Leonard's legacy and his wish to create awareness for lung disease. And Julie and I thought it would be great to honor Gene's legacy and celebrate his life and his career, but at the same time, maybe we can draw attention for another serious disease, Alzheimer's disease. And that's really how it started. We reached out to Karen about doing a film about Gene, and she was just immediately on board. She had seen our film, and she was just incredibly supportive and basically opened up the estate to us and allowed us access to all of the photos and images and video that we thought would be just great to be able to, you know, incorporate into the film.
Well, what you guys pulled off in a little over 90 minutes that could have easily been a limited series of possibly 7 one-hour episodes is phenomenal.
Well, we really wanted it to be pretty comprehensive. We basically watched so many of this film, and we thought it would be great to really give people an idea for people that weren't as familiar with Gene's work, just how talented he was. I mean, most of us are familiar, people over 50, definitely with the Young Frankensteins and the Blazing Saddles, but he also had so many wonderful films that he did, and we thought this would be great. And at the same time, interview some of the people that worked with him on these films. And I think for us, probably our biggest treasure guest was that Mel Brooks agreed to be in the film, and he was just fantastic. And his insight and the friendship that he had with Gene and how these films got made. They did 3 films, you know, together, and all of them are really considered, you know, classics today.
Right. Before we move on to Gene, I want to make mention that we met initially at the Newport Beach Film Festival for Remembering Leonard Nimoy, the documentary you made about your father-in-law, which turned into a huge family reunion at the theater.
Right.
And it was just a big ball of energy, And it was also very somber because seeing your children and your nieces and nephews, you know, breaking down and crying in remembrance of their grandfather was so powerful. And me being an outsider, you know, having no ties to the family, understanding their emotion, having lost a grandparent, it was even more heartwarming because clearly he was beloved by the family, not just Star Trek and Mission Impossible fans and, you know, everything else that he's done along the way. Yep. I do have to ask one question about your father-in-law before we get back to Gene.
Sure, sure.
How often did you guys bring up the Bilbo Baggins song to him? And was it kind of like a holiday party joke, or was it never mentioned, or, you know, how did that play out?
Well, from my recollection, now remember, I didn't know Leonard that long. That's probably more of an Adam Julie question, but it was never brought up in any get-togethers that we had. But I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, knowing Leonard, he loved to tell stories. And he would, you know, often, you know, remember something and share with the family. He just had a wonderful sense of humor and the kind of person that was so easy to talk to and so approachable. So I'm sure it came up at some point. And I would have loved to have heard that story and heard his comments, but unfortunately I missed that tale.
Okay. I thought I'd ask because I'm sure so many people have wondered and never had the nerve to ask either Julie or Adam, so I thought I'd ask the son-in-law because, you know, he'll have some insight that he could share.
I met Julie actually in 2012, so didn't really know Leonard too long, a few years. But I would have loved to have been part of more stories because he was a great, great storyteller.
Well, just like your father-in-law, Gene Wilder was an incredible storyteller, and he made it easy for you, even in death, since he narrated his own autobiography as the audio book, and it was so easy to pull excerpts because he was so emotionally invested. I remember listening to Paul Stanley's autobiography, and Paul just went through the motions of reading it. Gene actually performed his autobiography.
Right. Well, that was just a wonderful resource. The book that he wrote, of course, was called Kiss Me Like a Stranger. I almost forgot the title of it. But we did get licensing for that, and our director, Ron Franks, thought it would be a wonderful addition. He had recorded the audiobook for it. And there were so many stories to share and insights on his movies and relationships. We just had a massive amount of material. In fact, that was probably one of our biggest, you know, struggles was deciding what to put into the film and what not because we had so much material, you know, basically to work with.
You know, the big question that everyone needs to know the answer to is what is Karen Wilder's reaction to the documentary? And
Karen absolutely loves it. She's been attending a number of the film festivals. We had a film festival in L.A., the L.A. Jewish Film Festival, and also up in San Francisco. And she just absolutely loves it. In fact, tonight, there's actually going to be a screening in Stamford, Connecticut, which is where they had a home, and they're going to be showing the film, and Karen's going to be doing the Q&A, and she has just been a huge, huge supporter and just loves the film. So for us, that's probably next to having the audience enjoy the film, but really having, most importantly, having Karen's approval. To us, that's the most important person to get that kind of feedback from.
Absolutely. When the wife gives you the thumbs up and the green light and absolutely loves the final product, that's almost more important than the audience reaction.
Yes, it's really made us feel great. And we wanted her to be comfortable because this was the love of her life. And I think that's one of the things that we tried to do in the film was, you know, there's a lot of talk about Gene's relationship with Gilda Radner and, you know, the years they were together. But Karen and Gene were together over 25 years, and they loved each other. They were inseparable, spent so much time together, and we really wanted to show a little bit about that relationship. Not too many people even knew that Gene was married to Karen, and the kind of relationship they had, particularly after he had passed away, people were talking a lot about Gilda. So in our film, we really show that relationship and how special it was for both of them.
Well, it was a wonderful relationship what you depicted, because I didn't know much about Karen Wilder till your documentary, Remembering Gene Wilder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the final moments that they have together, which I'm not going to give away, but there wasn't a dry eye in the house. There, you know, it's that single tear moment where you're fighting them back. Yeah. So you don't sob over the audio because you still want to hear what's coming next.
Right. We wanted it, you know, to really tell the story. We didn't want to sugarcoat it. Most people know that Gene did pass away from complications from Alzheimer's disease. And we really wanted to let people know what had happened to him in the last, you know, year of his life and some of the events and how Karen, you know, dealt with this and took care of Gene. She was really his caregiver. And so people have told us that it is very emotional. There's a lot of people that relate to it because they have a loved one with an illness or perhaps even have Alzheimer's disease. So I think there's a big connection that people, it resonates with people when they watch the film with that.
And the story of his life and how powerful it is, and the doctor, you know, essentially, his mother's physician, essentially being the catalyst for his comedy career, inadvertently at the bare minimum, you know, shows the power of his performances in his films.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. That it's really kind of like what really started his career was the doctor telling Gene that, you know, you really have to make your mom happy and don't upset her. And so that really created a lot of tension. Remember, he was only 8 years old at the time. And so, but I think all that emotion that he was suppressing, it really played out in his films and his characters. It was like this volcanic, explosive, you know, manic behavior, and I think that was all the emotion coming out. So it was a major event in his life, definitely, being told that, you know, when he was a kid.
So your writer is multi-time Emmy Award winner Glenn Kirschbaum.
Right.
And Glenn and I had discussed very briefly, and we've kind of become fast friends because of your documentary, so I thank you for that. His favorite film is Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Mine is See No Evil, Hear No Evil. What is your favorite Gene Wilder film?
Oh, boy. I think it's a tie between Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles. I would say it's got to be a tie. I don't think I could choose. I could watch either one 100 times. I get tired of it. So I would say those are my two favorite films. But I would also say a close second would be The Producers, their very first collaboration together. I think it's a great film, so those would be my favorites.
I view Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles the way I view Godfather 1 and Godfather 2.
Yes.
Depending what day I'm watching it, one is slightly better than the other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In what mood you're in, you know. So I think it really works well, and they're just classic films. I think everybody should see it, and I love how we included from Young Frankenstein some of the outtakes from that. I thought that really worked nice, and we had the entire team for Young Frankenstein behind it because we had not only, of course, Gene telling, you know, from his biography the events, but also we had his agent, Mike Medavoy, who was in the film. And, of course, we had Mel, you know, talking about how this all happened. And we had the producer, Michael Gruskall. So we really had the team behind how it got developed and how it eventually got produced by Fox. And so it was really great to hear these people. And you know, I think Mel really just did a marvelous job of really explaining how Young Frankenstein came to be.
You know, I'm glad that you got Mel. Mel is in his mid-90s at this point.
97?
Okay, so he's hitting late 90s.
Yeah, he's up there right now. And And it was really difficult, particularly since, you know, COVID during that period when we were doing a lot of principal photography. So it was difficult. We had to wait 2 years, really, before he finally was comfortable enough that we could send a crew to his house and interview him. And he was just so generous with his time. And, of course, for us, having him introduce the film when we had our world premiere in L.A., at the Jewish Film Festival, he was there opening night in front of a packed house introducing the film, and it just meant so much to us to have him there. And he's also just been so supportive. In fact, we put his quote on our poster because he also really loved the film as well.
You know, everybody that's left, I mean, there's a William Shatner documentary, so that's a tie-in to your father-in-law that's also being shown at Newport Beach. You can call me Bill.
Right.
But we'll go to specifically the Mel Brooks crew. There's really only two left from Sid Caesar's Show of Shows. It's Mel and Woody Allen.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure Mel just wants to outlive Woody Allen at this point.
Probably.
But what is it about that generation and that style of comedy that has influenced American humor and American culture since the late 40s, post-World War II, that still permeates and resonates today through Mel and Gene and those that are in that same school of thought?
Boy, well, Mel is just incredible. I mean, after we had filmed him, Ron and I thought we could actually, this would be fantastic, just to add in bonus features, you know, a special, just listening to Mel talking about, you know, his career and some of the other points that he brought up in when we interviewed him, because the guy is just, he's just amazing. He's one of these people that, you know, he's one of these wonders. And so we're just so honored that he was involved in the project, because I'm not sure it really, the film would have really came out the way it did if it wasn't for Mel. He really made the difference, his participation.
Right. And we mentioned Glenn earlier. How easy of a pitch was it for Glenn? Because Glenn seems to love Gene Wilder more than any other fan at this point.
Well, Glenn had actually worked with our director, Ron Frank, on a number of projects. And when Ron told me that we really need to bring in Glenn to help with the writing, I just listened to Ron, and boy, I'm sure I did, because Glenn is just not only an incredibly talented writer, but he's just such a pleasure to work with and constantly has ideas and how we can make it better. So Glenn has just been absolutely fantastic. And that's the way Julie and I both feel about him so strongly. He's just been a huge blessing to this project.
You know, the team that you put together and the way this was finalized is absolutely phenomenal. And you have to be commended on that from the get-go. When there are moments that you really want to incorporate into the narrative that just doesn't fit, what was something that was millimeters away from making the final cut?
Oh, boy. Well, there was some material that we wanted to incorporate, but we were also aware that, you know, the humor that was used in the 70s might be insulting to some people today. So we were trying to find a balance, particularly with Blazing Saddles. we were trying to be sensitive to people because it's just such a different day and age and how people react to humor. We didn't want to offend anybody. And so there were a few things we thought would be great. But I think one of the things that, you know, that I'm really glad we incorporated is, you know, the whole thing with everything you'd want to know about sex with the sheep. You know, we were first thinking, well, maybe some of the pro, animal rights people are not going to be too comfortable with the scene when Gene's in bed with this sheep. That might have actually upset some people. So we kind of wrestled with that, But eventually we thought, no, we have to include it. It's just too funny. So we ended up putting that in the film. As far as anything that we didn't put in, I don't offhand know of anything that I can remember. I just remember there were a couple things that we thought about, but we thought we might be crossing some boundaries. So we chose not to. Plus, we had so much material anyway to work with. We didn't think it would matter too much.
For anyone that hasn't seen that film and not realize how, or that has seen that film and doesn't realize that Gene Wilder is a master of his craft in making a sheep his love interest,
right,
and believable that it was a romantic interest, not just some over-the-top fetish,
right,
is beyond belief.
That really does illustrate his talent to play that off, and he was amazing in that part, and so I'm really glad we put that in there.
Yeah, you had two screenings at the Newport Beach Film Festival this week, and the reaction from fans has been through the roof. And I've heard some people say that the younger audiences might not get it, but how'd you not get genius and humor?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. You know, I'm 63, Julie's 68. So, you know, we're kind of like in that older age group. And, you know, it's maybe it's a generational thing. So I kind of wonder that. But I should say when we did the L.A. Festival, we did have people that were in their 20s and 30s that did come up to us. And they did say that now I have to go watch some of these films. I never even saw Blazing Saddles. So maybe it's not entirely, you know, all the young people that wouldn't connect with it. But I would say... you know, because there are some young people that do connect with it. But I would definitely think the people over 50 definitely it's going to really hit home for them, the humor that we're putting into the film.
I kind of perceive it as those adults that look at children and go, oh, they're stupid, they won't get it,
right,
or they're too immature to understand. Yet children are far more cognitively you know, there to
yeah.
understand things than adults give them credit for. And when you're 20, you're a full-grown adult. How are you not going to get this?
Yeah, I that's what I'd like some of the, you know, the people that we've been pitching the film to. I think that's their one hold up, is why we haven't secured a distribution deal yet or broadcasting deal, is because they have some reservations about the audience, the younger viewer.
You know, it's almost like Frank Zappa back in the day when he said, when it was the fat cats smoking cigars, they might not have understood the music, but they realized there was something there and they gave bands a shot. When they brought in the younger executives that went and became, people that were supposedly tastemakers, they said, no, I'm young, I'm hip, I know what my generation wants. And kind of killed the music industry. It seems like that's what's kind of happening in regards to this documentary with those type of executives.
Yeah, I think so. This is what we've heard several times now. So there must be something, you know, to the concerns. But, you know, we are very proud of the film. We've had wonderful response. We won for the L.A. Festival, L.A. Jewish Film Festival, we won the Best Picture Audience Favorite. We've been opening the film at a number of festivals across the country. And so we know there is an audience for this. And hopefully next year we'll be able to really widely release it and make it available to stream or video on demand, and that would be our hope for next year. And also doing a limited theatrical release we would love to do as well.
I think that would be phenomenal. Personally, if I had any stroke whatsoever, Ben Mankiewicz would be doing the introduction on a TCM retrospective.
Yes, I think it would be a wonderful fit for TCM. And Ben, just have to say, did a marvelous job in the film. He is a great film buff, and I thought his contributions were huge to the film, so we were just thrilled that he was involved. And yes, I would love for TCM to do something. They've already shown a number of Gene's films and Mel's films, so I think it would be great be able to do something special with them.
Yeah. David, before I let you go, what was a moment in the documentary that was your aha moment and you're like, this is it, this is our moment of triumph that made you either belly laugh or, you know, choke down the tears?
Oh, I think my favorite moment really comes from Mel Brooks. When he was in production for the producers, he had a show, The Dailies, to the distributor. I think his name was Joe Levine. And Joe Levine was not happy about Gene being in the film. He wanted more of a leading man type and wanted Mel to fire Gene. And Mel basically, you know, of course, was very upset because he said, I don't want a leading man. I want somebody that's afraid and afraid of the world. And finally, instead of arguing with him, he just said, Gene Wilder is out. You will not see Gene Wilder anymore in the film. And he said from that moment, that's what he did with all future film projects, is tell the studios what they wanted to hear, but he ended up doing what he wanted to do. So that moment for me, I think, was probably the funniest moment in the film. The scene with in Young Frankenstein, when he's basically questioning Igor about which brain he used, and you know, the Abbey Normal. I just thought I could watch that scene over and over. So those are really my two favorite scenes in the movie.
Well, those are two phenomenal scenes. Oh, also, one last thing. What charitable organization are you working with in regards to Alzheimer's? Because I know Glenn had mentioned that to me.
Yeah, we're actually working with an organization called Bright Focus, and they're one of our sponsors, but we're also working with the Alzheimer's Association as well. So those would be the two organizations that we're working with. I know the Alzheimer's Association, they also were at the screening in Newport Beach, so we're very appreciative of both these organizations and their support and their interest in our film.
David Knight, thank you so much for your time today. I greatly appreciate it. Remembering Gene Wilder is an absolutely phenomenal documentary, making its rounds across the film festival circuit. Please don't let it be so long that we don't chat again sooner this time.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, RC.
Thank you. And give my love to Julie, please.
Will do.